Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This guy's on the inside. Now, here's Green Bay football insider Ryan Wood on The Fan.
Brought to you by PNC Insurance. PNC Insurance, an independent insurance agency for all your home, auto, and commercial business needs. Visit them at pc-insurance.net.
All right, joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, the aforementioned Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Ryan, do either of those sound appetizing to you at Wendy's?
Yeah, I'm sitting here thinking, like, what, are you actually trying to keep me on the radio here? Because you tell me they have a birthday cake cookie frosty.
Sunday.
And I'm not supposed to, like, immediately go get that, but that sounds amazing.
Oh, my God. Seen pictures of it. It looks amazing. It looks amazing, and I'm sure it is amazing, and I will be going there at some point tonight to go get me one. Hey, we were talking about it before you came on, and we want to get your thoughts on it. Desmond Howard and Ryan Clark earlier today on ESPN were pretty much saying that this whole Kaepernick tryout on Saturday in Atlanta by the NFL is a complete PR stunt by the NFL. And Gary and I and listeners were discussing it for the last half hour or so. Where do you come out on it?
Yeah, I don't really know. I mean, it to me seems difficult to enforce teams taking it seriously. I mean, they can provide the showcase and the tryout, but one, if teams don't need a quarterback, then why should they care? Two, if teams don't want to go and sign him, then it's hard. I mean, the NFL can't enforce that. So they can have the tryout, but that's – I mean, there's a big deal made out of that, and I get why, but to me it just doesn't seem like it's it seems very limiting in terms of how impactful that can actually be.
Right, but just so weird that this would comes out yesterday and they want to do this now. I mean, in the middle of the year. I mean, we couldn't have done this at the beginning of the year when training camp. I mean, who would want to bring this circus into your locker room after week 10? That's just crazy to me.
Nobody. Nobody wants to bring that circus into the locker room. You know, not even week 10, but at this point, that's going to be an obstacle that – timing is going to be everything, and you've got to be just a completely QB-starved situation to add that right now. And it's unfortunate that that's the reality, because I think that, you know, Colin Kaepernick, clearly when the last time he played in this league, he was certainly talented and capable enough to play in this league. There was zero question about that. But now the doubts with the rust that he's going to have to shake off, and the reality that any team that signs him, there's a whole lot of stuff outside of football that goes into that. That's something that, in the best of times on the calendar, is something that teams have to consider. Middle of November is not the best of times for that.
No, and let me ask you this. I'm going to do my math right. 32 plus 32, was that
64.
Yep. So let's just say 64 quarterbacks. It's probably a little bit more than that in the league. 64 quarterbacks right now in the league. Do you think that he's at least better than 64 quarterbacks in the league, Ryan?
I have no idea. Probably, but it would be a pure guess because we haven't seen him play.
Right.
I mean, where's his game at? We have no idea.
We don't know.
Nobody. That's why they need the showcase, because, like, even guys that do this for a professional living, they have no idea.
Showcase would have been better put on a Tuesday when the rest of the league does this, allow people to travel there, versus on a day when half the NFL is traveling for the games. That's my problem.
Crazy.
That's another great point. Mm-hmm. That's another great point. Yeah, doing it on a Wednesday, I mean, it's not a big deal for the Packers. I have no idea if they had anyone down there or not. I haven't looked into it, but it's not a big deal for teams on bye, right? But
right.
If you're not on bye, it's the first day of game week. It's a pretty fairly important day. Now, with that said, your scouting department's on the road all all year. I mean, every week throughout the year.
Well, that's two. So you got college football on Saturday. So those scouts are at college football games. Where if you do it on a Tuesday, those scouts are available too. That's even a better point. I even thought about the college game aspect and scouts being at college games or personnel directors or GMs that already had made arrangements to be at a game on a Saturday. And now you're asking them to bug out and not go to that game and instead come to your workout.
Yep, it's changing. There's nothing ideal about the timing. November's a bad month to do anything like this. There's just the long and short of it is that.
Yeah, it's crazy. Hey, Ryan, I saw the piece on Tim Boyle today by one of your cohorts, and I was surprised, I guess, blown away a little bit by all the stuff Boyle is really doing for Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers saying Boyle texts him on Monday and Tuesdays and lets him know what Boyle is seeing on film, watching film, and they got him doing projects on offense during the week. And Ryan Scott's team, we all knew they did that. But the other stuff, I guess I was kind of taken aback by, and then Rodgers saying that, you know, this is really the biggest difference from last year to this year as far as the role that the backup quarterback has and the responsibilities that Tim Boyle has as far as trying to make the starting quarterback better. And again, I highly doubt that was the case with Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre.
Yeah, it's a great piece by Jim Ozarski, my colleague. I encourage everyone to check it out. It was really enlightening on what life is like as a backup quarterback in this league, and specifically in this kind of situation where you're a backup quarterback to a legend. And that Aaron Rodgers, the thing that stood out to me is that he said that this stuff that he does actually does help. I mean,
right.
It's not menial activity. It's stuff that for him is useful information. It's, you know, I can almost relate it as a writer when I'm writing a story and I have another fellow writer to bounce ideas off of. It sparks creativity. It helps me to know where I'm going and whether the path I'm going down is good or not. I got to think, you know, without ever being a quarterback, it's probably not that, you know, too different for a quarterback to have another quarterback to bounce ideas off of. And he's surrounded by a lot of quarterbacks. Matt LaFleur was obviously a quarterback, but to have a guy in the league right now that is seeing the game at his level, not at his level in terms of being able to have the acumen, but just in terms of being in the league and seeing the same film clips and those sort of things, it's good to have kind of a sounding board, and that's really what the job of backup quarterback is, and that's what Tim Boyle's able to provide Aaron Rodgers.
Now, I was hearing some things about LaFleur and giving time off to the guys. Now, I thought they didn't leave right after the game, did they? I mean, did they have to go through some stuff? So what's the time frame? How did he give them days off? When do they return? Do you know any of that stuff?
They were there Monday, and they were basically all leaving town Monday or early Tuesday, the players that are leaving town. I don't know when they return. My guess would be Sunday. We don't know what the schedule is next week, but if I had to guess, and so it's a guess, I would guess that they have something Monday, they have Tuesday off, and then they get back into game week Wednesday. So my guess would be that Sunday is when they would return. But in theory, if Matt LaFleur wanted, he could give them an extra day and just do something Tuesday, and then something light Tuesday, and then get into heavier work Wednesday. So it's possible that they could be gone until Monday, but I would guess that more likely they'll be back Sunday. You know, it's hard to say, too, because not only do we not have a schedule for next week yet, but we've never seen Matt LaFleur handle the bye week.
No.
I mean, everything he does this season is the first time. So with Mike McCarthy in 13 years, you could pretty accurately be like, well, this is how Mike McCarthy handles the scheduling. We just have no idea
what
LaFleur right now.
But this is the one thing I wanted to bring up. With Mike McCarthy, you know, seemingly almost every year, every other year, you've seen some new wrinkle in the second half of the year that the Packers roll out one way or the other coming out of that bye week that you didn't see in the first half of the year. Do you think we say something similar here with a Matt LaFleur after they watch all this tape, that maybe there's something different on defense they do, or maybe there's something, a new wrinkle on offense they show that everybody hasn't seen yet?
I think you could, and it's impossible to predict what that is. I mean, who in 2014 had, you know, when they went to that week 8 bye, I think, had Clay Matthews returning as an inside linebacker? You know, I mean, those are the type of things that can happen on a bye. And they can be dramatically impactful. I mean, really, really important to teams. Like Clay Matthews, an inside linebacker, was the second half of that season completely changing the defense. Or they can be smaller and more subtle than that. So we'll have to see. But I mean, I think we know what they've got to figure out. Right? I mean, they've got to eliminate the explosive plays. However they do that, they've got to eliminate the explosive plays. They've got to be better in run defense, which is going to in part help with eliminating the explosive plays, because a lot of those come on action passes. And if you can eliminate the yardage in the run game, then you can not bite as hard on the action pass. So defensively, those are the two things. And then the offensive side, Matt LaFleur mentioned specifically being cleaner with the pre-snap operation, which is especially important for this offense because it's very different than Mike McCarthy's offense, which was always in that three-receiver set. This offense is running a ton of two-back, two-tight, and it's basically a revolving door. They're never in one formation for that long during any stretch of the game. It's just a whole bunch of personnel groupings that they're giving presenting to a defense. So being cleaner before the snap with that, I think finding more playmakers in the passing game, figuring out how to get Marquez Valdes-Scantling more involved in utilizing the talent that he has shown and knowing how to transition that into more production, but also really being more committed to the run game. I mean, I think that of all the things offensively, that might be the biggest thing down the stretch, and maybe the biggest change is even more commitment to the run game, because for one, you've got two guys that, other than the concussion for Jamal Williams, these guys have been healthy for 10 games now. Aaron Jones has played every game. They've been able to kind of keep each other fresh with the way that they've gone with their two-back system. So with these final six games now, both those guys should be fresh for the stretch run. And I really think that this offense has shown that it's best when it operates out of the backfield with the running backs and in the pass game and in the run game. So kind of recommitting to that is probably a big part of what they want to get back to in the stretch run.
We look back at the box scores from their two losses. Aaron Jones completely shut down and negated in both of those games running the football. It's like 2 yard average or something along those lines. And then last week, I was getting frustrated. I don't know about everybody else, but there were several times where I felt like he had a check down and wanted to pat that ball and wait for the bigger play again. And it looked like more of Aaron Rodgers of the past than he was when Davante Adams was out and just taking the check downs. Did it seem that way to you?
There was one play I can remember specifically where they went with kind of a double shallow corner route in the slot. They had trips right, and then Aaron Jones was the wide right guy and went with a shallow slant underneath the corners and was wide open. No one was around Aaron Jones in the middle of the field, and Aaron Rodgers just didn't see him and went to Davante Adams on the left side, the opposite side of the field. So, yeah, that one play especially stands out. But, those sort of things happen. Even with a guy like Rodgers, you're not going to see everything every play. I think specifically getting them more involved in the run game. And you saw against Carolina a re-emphasis to the run game going into the bye, probably helped with that because you knew that you had the next week off. But it was clearly a refocus on the run game against the Panthers that you did not see against the Chargers the week before. And I just think this offense is at its best when those two guys, and especially Aaron Jones, are leading the way.
Ryan Wood, thanks so much for coming on. We'll talk to you again coming up on a Football Friday. Talk about look ahead to the weekend's games, even though there's nothing for Green Bay. We'll discuss what's on the docket for the rest of the teams in the NFC.
All right, sounds good. Looking forward to it. I'm going to go get that Frosty now, too.
You're going to get it before me. Gosh darn it. All right, Ryan, have a good day.
I will see.
There's Ryan Wood, Green Bay Press Gazette on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2009. Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.